I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Monday.
Yes.
Monday afternoon. And it's a very special Monday because we have a very special guest. It's been a while since we had her on the show, but that doesn't mean we're still not big fans. It's our girl Jess Wood. What's going on, Jess? Okay.
Hey, hello, hi. I'm so excited to be back. Hello, everyone.
Yes. I feel like with everybody being home for the coronavirus stuff, you know, like people are finally like still and
right and not moving.
We're able to like hook up and holler at people and see what they've been up to. I was listening to Keith and the Girl.
Yes.
And I heard Jess Wood on there and I was like, oh my gosh, she's always so great as a guest. And then she hit me up and I was like, oh yeah, that's right, you can be a guest on our show as well. So ta-da, show business. Jess, what you been up to, man? Last time we talked to you, I want to say
it's been a while.
Might have been 2017, I think, was the last time we talked to you. So what you been up to?
Well, first of all, I wish I could say that I wasn't still fucking the same meth heads. That's the first thing I'd like to say. Yeah. Are you guys frozen? Oh, man, I'm having a frozen time.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I'm having a frozen time.
Am I frozen? Oh, it's waiting for her to reconnect. Refresh, okay. Yeah. Refresh, Jess, if you can hear us.
Yeah, type it in.
I'll tell her.
Yeah.
Because I think earlier when we tested this, I froze. So
yep.
Okay.
You guys froze on me a little.
Yeah. Are we back? Are we moving? You can hear us?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. So you've been having sex with the same meth head still?
Yeah. Unfortunately, you guys, I don't know what my problem is. And one of them actually came over recently and wore a mask. So no cunnilingus, no fellatio, obviously. Mm. But definitely we fucked.
So y'all were not 6 feet apart?
I mean, his dick is so big, you guys, that I think we might have just made the dimensions work.
Oh, my God.
Was he okay about it?
Was he coughing? Did you, like, do a temperature check? You know, like, you got to get a thermometer or something if you're going to be risking it all in the room.
I made him cough. I held his balls and I made him cough.
That's what you do. I
don't think that's one of the things, but you know, it's definitely something.
He froze on me again. Should I just wait? I shouldn't reload.
Because we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear her. I don't think she can hear us.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Can I do?
The internet is acting crazy. Okay. Let me think about this. Okay. Matter of fact, let me pause this.
Okay.
See if we can. Boom. All right, guys. Technical difficulties. We're working with it on the fly, but we think we figured out a system here.
Yes.
So, Jess, we were talking about
checking the temperature of the dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, so here's the thing, right? I've been seeing these guys. Now, this is impressive, I think. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to brag about my monogamy with the street urchins, with the hobo dick, as what they've been called before. But, 3 years.
Wow.
I told the young guy the other day, I said, oh man, it's been 3 years. Can you believe it? You and crazy ass. You know, I saw that either of them is crazy ass.
Mm.
You know, when I'm with the other, I go, oh, you know, crazy ass. And they know who I'm talking about. Obviously, they know who I'm talking about. And, he goes, why? Like he seemed authentically worried about my state of mind that I would have stayed in this position with these two men who two together don't make one real boyfriend, as I think I've said before. I'll say it again. It just makes sense.
They're like, listen, I just think you need to get your life together. I'm not a 3 year relationship kind of guy. I'm like a 1 month guy.
I'm shocked I'm still here too.
Yeah, you gotta raise your standards, okay? I'm terrible.
Exactly. Like, I wouldn't stay with me. Why are you still with me?
They know about each other. Have they met or they?
Yes.
Oh wow, are they cool?
I mean, they've definitely, one has bummed a cigarette off the other one, and we've said hello in the street, all of us.
Wow.
At certain points, yeah. I mean, you know, we're all grown up. I mean, he might only be 25, but he's a grown up legally. And you know, I feel like there's a thing about kids who are kind of in the street, is like they grow up pretty quick.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
My poor, oh God.
I always say a street 25 is like a suburb 35, you know?
It aids you.
Yeah, they seen some shit.
Yeah, for sure. And the way that this fucker is making love to me is like, get out of here. I mean, oh my God. I mean, don't get out of here. I mean, come back. I mean, where are you going? You don't stop.
That's the danger right now is the quarantine is out here. I think a lot of people are feeling like they're getting randy, okay? It's getting desperate times. People aren't even able to like go out the house and see people on the normal. And I feel like a lot of people are, you know, having those house calls being made, man. You just gotta hope that they're doing all the social distance stuff they're supposed to be doing on the regular.
Yeah, you hope. I mean, I think he's been staying on the same couch for a couple months.
Okay. All right. Well, that's steady.
Yes. Consistency as far as that goes. He doesn't go to a job or anything, so I don't have to worry about him being around people.
The perks of dating a homosexual, guys.
Yes.
But here's the thing. I mean, I love that you brought up that you, thank you for listening to the Keith and the Girl show, because I had so much fun with them as well. You know, I love you guys so much. All y'all are just like, oh my God, the family, feels, I mean, not my real family, but you know, this new family I've made.
Yeah.
Bless you, for Christ's sake. But we were chatting and they were saying, you know, don't you want like wait, what were they saying? They were asking me if I wanted something better, and I was like, I don't know. You know, yeah. I don't know.
Kinda,
if I do,
you're
happy, I don't know.
You're happy with the status quo, or are you? Because I feel like that's a thing. There's always like this pressure on relationships to be progressing towards something all the fucking time. But like, what if you're just happy? Like, I had a job once where, you know how they do that thing every year is evaluation, and they're like, so like, where you see yourself in 5 years, or what do you want to be doing? And I was like, I like this. I just want to do this for however fucking long. Like, this is my vibe is very positive right now. All this other shit you said sounds stressful. Like, all this other stuff is responsibility. And I feel like, what about people in relationships like that, where it's just like, I'm cool with this. Like,
yeah, no responsibilities. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, I kind of feel like, I don't know if anyone, I'm going to really age myself when I call out this woman, but Mae West is my hero. And I don't know if anyone knows who she is, but in the olden days, you know, she was writing her own plays and doing things she was getting arrested for doing. She was bringing out gay people and black people, and, you know, she's putting people in her plays that everyone was like, what are you doing? And she only had lovers. Like, she only had lovers. She never got down with the idea that you had to have, like, one guy that was, you know, going to take you away and save you from whatever the fuck. I mean, I know that us gals now know that no guy saves us and no lady saves a guy, but or we try not to. But
right, we haven't got that far yet. Okay, we're not that progressive. Like, you still gotta open these doors and pay for these dates.
I mean, I don't know. We're very picky about what kind of chivalry we want,
right?
I think as women, you know.
I love women as deserved. Yeah. I mean, at this point, I mean, it's kind of like, if you put up with enough shit, I feel like you get to pick, you know, you get to cherry pick like which parts of the chivalry and patriarchy you're in for, you know. Like, that's not fair to be like, all right guys, listen, I know you've been oppressed for a few thousand, you know, a few millennia, but we're all free now, okay? Everything's even, so start paying for half the dates. I feel like that's not fair.
No, it's not, particularly if you're not gonna raise my pay or any of that shit either. And
I know you get paid 65 cents on the dollar, but I'm gonna need you to go ahead and go in half on this rent.
You know, I'm
exactly.
And I joke about it, but everybody is affected by misogyny. And the thing is, men created the system, and then men want to turn around and get upset at the system that they created. And it's one of those things where, yes, I'm married, but I want the door open for me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, I'm married, but I want to be pampered and I want to be spoiled, you know, and, but that's just me personally.
Right.
Well, it's always a personal choice with everything. I mean, I talk about everything, and the guys that I fuck know that I'm going to talk about everything. And as far as they're concerned, you know, they're so hard to find. They're never going to listen to it or ever be found. I've got to put on nicknames and all this shit. There's no one's ever got a picture or real names or anything like that. But someone did try to get in touch with me after that Keeping the Girl interview. And they were like a couple, they were casting, you guys. And maybe you guys want to do it because they're looking for couples, or anyone listening right now, they're looking for real life couples under quarantine together. And they heard my story. And I said, you mean my story about having sex with the guy with the mask on? That's not, I'm not a couple.
Yeah.
That's obviously a man just coming in from the streets, like, you know, and, God.
That's more like a dick delivery. You know what I mean? It's like Uber, it's like Uber Eats for sex. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not a relationship.
Exactly.
Dick Dash.
Yeah.
I would pay for that.
Dash.
Yes, Amazon dick 2-day delivery. Same day delivery.
Fly that shit in. I almost fucked a FedEx worker that delivered my new phone. I was like, what? Hello?
You just opened up the door like, it's been 83 years. Come on in.
But this guy really wanted me to get the masked boy to get Londro and come and have an interview with them, you know, for the TV show.
Wow.
And I said to him, I can't. That's no. I'm not a couple. He's not my couple. And then I talked to Londro and I said to him, hey, do you want to go? Because what I really wanted to say to the producer guy or the casting guy or whoever the fuck this guy was, I really wanted to say to him, listen, man, these guys flake on me even if I'm offering them pussy. I don't think $100 is going to bring them around.
True. I hear you. Yeah, it's like you're not.
I can't, like, promise you anything.
Right. They're not consistent enough to get a check, and they're not, you know, like, it's, I don't know if we want to start making plans based on their attendance to things. What are you doing?
Exactly.
What are you doing, like, creatively right now? Because I know, like, with the lockdown and stuff, I feel like everyone, especially stand-ups and stuff, and people that were doing, like, you know, like, movies and TV shows, it's like, okay, now I have to be in my house, but we still have that creative bug inside of us. So what are you doing to still express yourself?
Well, I'll tell you what, Rod, thanks for asking, first of all. And I just had to tell you guys how much I love you again. That is all. Okay, bye. I feel really extra blessed because in December I was in New York. I was flown to New York to do a part in the new Aaron Sorkin movie.
Wow.
And and I worked opposite the guy from Succession, which I don't watch, but, like, I hear he's a real dick on the show.
Right.
I guess the son, he's kind of skeeched hair. Anyway, whatever his deal is, on my set that I was working with him at, he was motherfucking method actor. And let me tell you something, not fun. What are these people doing?
Yeah.
Quit it. Just say hi. You
who are
they?
It's, like it's like you're an asshole on purpose. Don't do that. That's so weird.
Exactly. It's the fucking weirdest thing, man. And I said to Sorkin, I go, hey, man, what's up? And he goes, oh, you know. And it was like no one wanted to explain to me, and I had to get the hair guy,
right,
you know, who was pissed off already, you know, hair and makeup were pissed. It was a whole situation. But anyway, I feel very blessed that I was able to do some work creatively, theatrically, I guess,
right,
I'd say, before all this happened. And what it really made me do was push myself to do something that I was really scared about doing, which you guys are going to be like, you were scared of doing this, which is pushing my show to do live.
Mm.
And I've been doing it live every week now.
I
and I love it so much. Oh, my God. I love it.
I see you going live. Yeah. And I'm like, she's been doing live. I also, aren't you glad that you did your live show prior to all this shutdown? Because you invested and spent all that money and got it recorded. I was like, I bet your people who did it right before everything shut down was like, I'm so glad I did it. I'm so glad I recorded it and got it out there.
You're so right, Kay. I mean, that's a great point, because, I mean, I take that shit for granted, too, because I made back my money. I sold that show out. It was a huge hit. Like, people are like, where's the tape? You know, it's a situation. situation. So I'm like, oh my God, I have this lovely thing that I have. I also am very lucky that I was able to submit a pilot, a comedy pilot that my god sister and I had written together. Mm-hmm. And it was something that she had approached me about. And I don't know if I ever told you guys, my godfather played Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, for real? I didn't know that. Nah, that's crazy.
Wow.
Small world.
Isn't that a weird fucking world? I mean, listen, in the 70s, right before he got it, right, I was born, and he was not the Hollywood actor that we all came to love on as the Hello, you know. Mm-hmm. He was more of, oh, you know, kind of liked a lot of acid and stuff, you know.
As one does.
So the night I was born, he was actually arrested because he was climbing a building because he thought he was Jesus.
Wow.
And he's a Jewish guy, you know. Anyway, so his little girl and I have become really good friends, and I'm really I'm proud to know her. She's really good. Like, she's kind of like a musical actress, comedy. I know I do her voice because she's a very small, petite little girl. Aww. I'm the perfect hello. You know, I don't know how to explain her, but she's very opposite of me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's dope, though.
That like, is so
I
good.
Mean, I'm glad that you're having, like, success and stuff out there. You're looking great.
Yes, you are.
Know, thank like, you. Just, thanks.
Like, you know, look, man, meth head dick, it can change a lot, okay? It's all I'm saying. Like, you know, don't knock it till you tried it.
Yeah, don't knock it till you try it.
I know, the young. And he really does keep me young. He keeps me, you know, the sex of it. I mean, I'm like crab walking. I mean, what is happening sometimes, you know? Like, ow, my back. I don't want to tell him, you know, that I was... But I'm very good about boundaries as well, which is interesting because that's kind of a new thing for me. So I'm like he said to me, you know, I want to bring some lube over the next time. And I go, what? And I was very insulted because my pussy was wet, right, you guys. Right. Okay, I'm sorry, but I'm black, okay? It's a lovely moisture.
Right.
So I go, why? There's nothing not happening here. And he goes, nah, to get into that booty. And I go, meow, meow.
That is a bit Seriously. Presumptuous. That is a bit presumptuous, yeah. The way he put
and
it.
And the 6 foot distance dick?
Right.
I can't. Hello?
Right.
What am I, some sort of Cirque du Soleil? This is right. not going to happen.
Maybe that is like young people shit. Cause like, maybe like a younger woman with less like boundaries or less affirmative or whatever would be like, oh, I guess if this is what you want, then I guess I'll give it a shot. But then, like, now you know, so you're just like, no, yeah, I'm not,
you,
I don't want to do
right,
that. I'm
you
not
know
into
what
that.
You like and what you don't like
yeah.
and shit like that. And the thing is, the older you get, the less flexible you are, you know, and you're like, look, we can't
I stretch
be.
Stretch it out before he comes, I stretch it out.
Okay. That's about to say,
I mean, you got to do a whole stretch routine. When you're young, you know, you just hop up in that. You
right,
know what I mean?
You
but
like,
now
look,
it's like.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's like me and my friend Justin, we played basketball, and like that became a running joke as we got older. It was like, have you stretched yet? Because we noticed, like, if you don't stretch, that's the day that you're like, man, my hamstring is really tight. I don't know what happened. It's like, what happened is you didn't fucking stretch. You're old.
Yes, you, but I guess you are old. Because if you ask younger people, I've been joking about how whenever I hear like the lyrics of some of like the sex songs and the raps, it just sounds so painful. You know, and that's because I'm old. They,
right.
It's nothing wrong with what they're doing. It's nothing wrong with their suggestion. But I'm old. And I'm like, I got other shit to do.
I can't
fuck all day.
I think when you're young, it's like you're trying to prove something or whatever. Cause like, that's when all the songs are like, beat the pussy up, like fight night and,
yes!
you know, I'm gonna break her back and all this shit. And it's like, that sounds good until you know how much insurance costs. You know what I mean?
Right. That sounds good to you.
Well,
be like, I gotta sit at my desk for 8 hours and now my hip's out of place.
Right.
Oh, see, okay. So I guess I should stop this then. Stop the nonsense. Cause I am. I'm like, I'm on Medi-Cal now. So I just try to twerk as hard as I can on his dick. Cause he did request it. The young
yeah.
man. The younger man. The older guy, older. Just appropriate. Not older. Just the age appropriate man.
Mm.
He was the pirate. I had to kick him out cause he sided with a crackhead in my building.
See, you can't have yeah, you can't have a crackhead union popping up these days. Like, you can't have them messing stuff up like that. Go ahead, Jess, refresh in the chat real
yeah.
quick, but just stay on the phone, we can still hear you. But yeah, you can't
you
have
it.
You can't have the meth heads and the crack heads forming some type of union, because then like they're gonna make demands, they're gonna go on strike, like you don't want to deal with that.
It's true. You can't, don't mess with them. They have a lot of energy. They have a lot of energy. They have a lot of staying power. There are a lot of them outside of my house at this moment. intent.
What did he side with the crackhead on? What was the crackhead's, like, you know, platform?
Oh, I'm sorry. He was throwing his furniture out of the apartment down 4 flights of wooden stairs that I shared a wall with at 4 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock in the morning.
Holy shit.
And then, yeah. And then when the pirate went to open the door to look outside, what the fuck is happening? A lady from across the hall yells out, "Shut the fuck up, you crackhead." And then the man, the white man who's throwing his furniture down, says back to her, "Everybody smokes crack once in a while." No, they don't. So.
Right. That's not
they
true.
They do not.
It's not true. I like that he was watching like Marie Kondo at 4 a.m. on Netflix and he just decided like, yo, all this shit don't bring me joy. Okay. You know what brings me joy? Crack. Okay. So everything in this house that's not crack gotta go.
But it was a serious case of fucking, another fucking case of white privilege. And again, I know I always rail on this shit. Well, but look at me. Look at me. I look like the enemy. Okay? I know I do. Stop it. I can't. It's a fucking drag. I hate it. I'm constantly, you know, putting blue on my hair like someone cares. Like there's not a blue Nazi, you know, like a blue-haired Nazi somewhere. I'm sure there are. But anyway, so the way I look, so I have to talk extra fucking loud about the way I feel about shit. And I'm like, I'll die. I'll take a bullet. I've been saying this for years. Right. Take a bullet for this revolution. I'm a race traitor. Fuck you. You know, I get very angry at people. And so I saw this man and I was like, white man. Like it was okay. So white man throwing furniture down. Everyone in the fucking building is calling the management. Right. The management has gotten up. The management is a nice Mexican lady and her husband, and they're always like, "Okay, but please don't throw the furniture. It's very loud, you know." And they're so nice, you know. And he's like, "What's the matter with me getting rid of some furniture? Like, sir, it's 4 in the morning. That's what the fuck is the matter with it?"
Right.
So. The police finally come, because the police don't really come to this neighborhood much.
Right.
And the police finally come to my building, and we're walking out, and we walk by, and the fucking guy is yelling at the police the way that he yelled at the manager.
Must be nice.
"I'm not allowed to get rid of my furniture." And I walk by and I go, "No fucking white man yelling at them. Do you guys see this white man yelling at them and nothing's happening?" Like, I raise my fucking voice. And the pirate's like, "Yeah, come on. He's probably got weed on him or heroin on him or some shit." That's right. Illegal. I don't know.
He's like, play it cool. Crap. They might,
yeah. they might catch on.
They might start asking questions.
Hey, Jess, how is your book going? Because you was watching, you were getting like your book and your material together. How was that process? Where are you at in that process?
Well, it's out in the ether, like getting read by places,
okay.
I guess, people. So that's exciting. And actually, what's really kind of exciting, and I don't know much about it except for I'm hoping that it happens, but there's someone maybe out there that wants to buy the audio. You know, of course I would do the audio for it because right. I do my mom and all the characters that I grew up with and everything and the essays and everybody. And so my agent was always like, "You're always going to do the voices anyway." So she's had me do some recordings and sending those as like part of, I think, the package of submission, which I think is so cool. Like, I like that so much more than just my writing. 'Cause you know, I'm a 10th grade dropout. Not that I didn't write a fucking book, but I don't know. I'm very judgmental of my own shit, and I'd rather them hear me kind of go off, you know, in my own voice and in other characters, I guess.
Yeah, I understand that. My friend Bossy, she wrote a book, and then she did the audio for the book as well.
The audio was outstanding. It's just something about just hearing it in your own, in that person's voice, because you can almost feel the emotions, you can feel them emote. how it was meant to be heard.
Because you wrote it, and then like you said, you know the voices and all the stuff mm-hmm. from your, or at least your impression of the people, like, and that's a big part of it, because you know the listener yeah. doesn't necessarily know those things, and then someone else reading it, they don't really know those things. So you know, I do feel you on that. I would rather do it myself if I had a choice, but I feel like I'm always like that with everything. Like if I have a choice, I'd rather do something creative myself than involve other people who may or may not get the vision, you know?
100%. I think that's why it's taken me so long, because I don't just go with somebody who's like, oh, you know, like even with Def Comedy Jam. And I mean, I know I was a kid and I literally just started out doing stand-up comedy, but I knew as soon as they told me they wanted me to get braids and wear FUBU, and I was like, no, this right. isn't. That's not true. Like, I'm not being true to myself. Plus, you know, I already had gotten braids when I was a kid. Like, I already went and hung out in South Central and used to do braids and stuff in my hair. And I went through that stage of, like, you know, I hated being white growing up. That was my thing. My mom hated white people, and she looked just like me. So, you know, I was really trying to mix it up a little bit, which is tough with this.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah,
but I knew by the time I was doing comedy that I couldn't not be true to myself, because right. I wasn't getting laughs by pandering to fucking people.
And the thing is too, like, it's so weird. Those decisions at the time always feel like they're really big decisions, but they also always kind of feel like everyone is pressuring you to do what everyone else is doing, right? So it's like, am yeah. I tripping? Am I the one who's being like, am I an asshole because I won't put on the FUBU? But then it's weird because you look back 10-20 years later and it's like, oh, thank God I didn't do that shit. You know what I mean? Like, especially yeah. now with the internet, where these motherfuckers like go find everything you've ever done. You know what I mean? It's like, the second that it's like, oh, the Jess Woods show is coming on, and then people are going to be like, did you know in 98 she came out on
yes.
Def Comedy Jam, she had cornrows and FUBU on, right. you know, so it's a good thing you didn't do it.
You guys, you can already make fun of me. I'm wearing a one-piece pleather outfit, and I've dyed my hair brown because I don't want anyone to know I'm from L.A. or blonde, and I loved Eddie Murphy, so I thought, oh, that pleather, whoa. Like, what in the world, woman?
Def Comedy, it's so weird because Def Comedy Jam was just like a you had to be there type of thing.
Right.
I don't think anyone now can understand it fully. Like, mm-hmm. if you just showed it to some kid now,
they'd be like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, like, even if they laughed at it, they still don't understand the whole context of, like, how that was, like, so revolutionary and so different than other stand-up, but how it's also, like, this time capsule, and everybody had the same kind of routine for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the white people voice, black people do this, pick on a couple people in the audience, you know. They always find, like, the one white person in the audience to be like, oh, how he get in here, you know? Oh, my God, I guess I'll see some comedy. You know, like, all that shit was just part of it. And now people probably look at that shit and they're like, oh, that's corny or whatever. But that shit was the bomb.
Oh, my God. It was the hackiest shit. I mean, I did that. Rod, you know that my Def Jam set started, and this is how they saw me. This is my first year of comedy in New York City. When they scouted me and saw me, I was coming on stage as a black man character.
Oh,
like my voice, like I'd be like, what's up? Like,
oh,
I was,
yeah.
Like, I was starting it up. Like, I was, what? Like, I was going crazy. I was wild out. And people are like looking at me in the audience like, what in the fuck is this? And then I would just switch it on a dime and I'd be like, oh my God, you guys, that's so fucking weird. Is that weird? Oh my God, you guys are totally expecting this, right? This is right, right? This is right. And people just were like, what in the fuck is this bitch on? And I just was doing shit that I knew from my, you know, growing up. Like, I just did a bunch of characters that right. I knew and girls that I knew and, you know, funny bullshit like black girls fight like they dance, white girls fight like they dance. You know, like, like white girl, like, oh my God, I'm calling my dad, he's a lawyer. white girl. Yeah.
It's funny too, because like all that stuff is like a time capsule or whatever, but I think when people start out, you're especially with stand-up, you're just imitating the people you admire at first. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it takes a while to develop your voice.
Yes.
So yeah, if you're like into black comedy at that time, like, you're gonna have that in your bag. So yeah, I feel like now more than ever, people are just so unfair about that kind of shit, where let's bring up this one time. It's like, but that shit was 1994. Like, what the fuck? Right. Like, aren't we over? I didn't even talk about it on the show because I saw this thing trending for last week, and I thought it was because everyone's in the house. We don't have shit to do. It was, all the old clips from Tyra Banks, America's Next Top Model, where she was like, so she's like saying mean things to the contestants. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, like, you have a gap in your teeth, you're never gonna make it or stuff, and people are like, wow, I can't believe this trash was on TV. And I was like, I don't know how to express this. It really was just a different time. Like,
it really some of those same tactics I use today, and some of them actually, we call it dragging. What's the difference?
Well, what happens is, it's a production. So it's not actually like Tyra Banks wakes up in the morning and starts talking about people with gap teeth. There's a whole fucking like show behind it that is like, yo, we need our host to be mean. You need to get out there. So what we're going to do for our narrative of our show, we're going to start the season, you're mean to everybody, and then at the end of every episode, you say something inspirational to one person. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the season, it becomes, you soften because you see how hard the people try.
Right.
And then the audience goes to love Tyra Banks because look at her. She fucking, you know, she grew a heart this season. And then we're going to do it 57 fucking seasons. Like, she never, like, it's the same story every year.
Same format.
It's like, Tyra's so mean. And then by the end, oh, Tyra's so sweet. And it's funny because we take little clips from that, and then people are just like, this right here, this moment right here is fat phobic, and I don't understand why it was on TV. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. It was 1992, and that's what the fuck people did. Or it's 2001, like, that's how you sold that TV. There's a reason it was so watched and spawned all these spinoffs and all that stuff. So it just feels like a weird time right now.
Well, what, no one wants to talk about how exploitive and horrifying the Tiger King thing was?
Oh, man.
It's like, whoa, Nelly.
I mean, I was here for the jokes, but come on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I watched it, of course. I had to be, you know, I watched it very early on. I hate to say that I judged a book by its cover and saw the poster for it. Was like, what is this white trash nonsense? Let's click this on here. I was very into it at first. But then I thought to myself, this is weird. And then someone wrote me, or sent me an article, excuse me, that said that Tiger King was poor people porn for the rich.
Mm.
And I thought, ooh, that kind of fucked up makes sense.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the Honey Boo Boo time, or like their Simple Life.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Simple Life happened and those two blonde whores went out on the road and like, this is weird. It's like we go shopping for food or something. You know, it was like, what are you doing? And it's so hot. They like shower themselves. That's hot. Like, oh my God, what is happening right now? And I think it like goes back to that. Like, I feel like we're veering back to those days, you know, where we're getting off on people. Poor people again.
I feel like
it's been rich people for 10 years.
Yeah, I feel like watching. I feel like when Jersey Shore started, it changed everything.
It did. They set the standard. Yeah. You know, as much as people talk trash about them, they literally, like, everything else kind of mimicked.
But that was like, that was our, like, they're not in on the joke.
Right.
We are. Look at these fucking idiots. They're stupid. They're, and then I think that became like a thing. I think the thing, okay, so there's two things. One, we got to come up with a better word than porn. For when people don't like something, because it makes it seem like porn is bad, and I don't think it is. But people always do that where they're like, oh, this is trauma porn. This is such and such porn. And I was like, I like porn. Can we just chill on the calling everything bad porn? Like, come up with another word. Matter of fact, leave porn off of it. Let's just be like, this is just trauma, you know? Anyway, then the second thing is, it is funny because the Tiger King thing was definitely like some of the saddest, most fucked up shit, but I feel like that's what we do now, you know, like we laugh at what the number one podcasts are normally like true crime. You know, my favorite TV show right now is For My Man, which is just a show.
Oh, that's my jam.
Just a show about black couples where one woman gets dragged down by some ain't shit dude into a murder, like every week, and I watch it, and it's really sad in real life, but in, you know, in not real life, I can just like laugh about it or whatever. But, you know, and I feel like Tiger King was that, where it's like, this is actually pretty sad. One of the dudes like commits suicide on camera.
Yes.
People go to prison. There may or may not be a husband who was murdered. And, you know, everyone's just yucking it up.
Carol Baskin. We know about her.
Yeah, hey, she was the real Dawn. Okay.
Right? She the MVP.
She was the real Tiger King. Okay. Tiger Queen is what it should have been called. The other motherfucker went to jail. Yeah, why are we even naming this after him? I like my criminals to get away.
And then he got sick too. He doesn't have a lot of muscle mass on him. You know, he's not well protected.
Right.
The poor guy. He's got a very low immune system. You can look at him and tell that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing though. If you're a young straight meth head, you better watch out. Cause that man
will get you.
Okay. He knows you like tigers. It's over. Okay. I was also surprised by how much people were willing to fuck people for tigers. I did not know. I would not have guessed that, but there were like so many young, impressionable people that were just like, oh, you have tigers? I would like to fuck you.
I didn't know tigers make the panties drop. I don't roll in them circles.
Crazy.
No, me either. But it is I hate to call out my people, but once again, we've just topped the bar. Hey, oh, look at those white people over there. What are they doing? Oh, God, are they taking a tiger hole?
I was so happy that no black people were in it. Like, you know, everyone's always, like, nowadays, everyone's always talking about diversity and inclusion and, you know, like, all that. Not that those are bad things, but, like, shit like this, I'm like, no. We'll skip this I won't even count this against you, Netflix. Like, whenever they do those tallies at the end of the year where they're like, were there any black people in your shows? This one, we don't count against you. Mm-hmm. This is the white people shit. You can have
it. I try to explain sometimes to white people that if you went outside and had to have such high alert as if you were dealing with a tiger,
right?
But you were just leaving your home every day, you probably wouldn't want to come and deal with this whole bullshit. It's like those mud romps or muddy boot camp mud bucket mud romp. I don't know what the fuck these white people are doing, but everybody, I need to get an adrenaline bust, you know?
Oh,
let's go get chased by police. Are you understanding?
Right.
I'm horrified.
Yeah.
I always say, white people need like a natural predator. And then it would like balance so much shit out, because I feel like they do a lot of wild shit that's like, you know, I mean, look at the coronavirus protests. Like, it's just white people going out like, I'm gonna get this coronavirus, you can't stop me. It's like, what does that come from? Like, that only happens if you don't have nothing to worry about.
Right, and that's why they can do the most extreme shit, like try to dive off the moon. You'd be like, bitch, how'd you get up there and why is you diving off of it?
Right. And screaming in the police faces. God damn it, open it up.
Yeah.
And the cop's like, sir.
Right.
Like, what the fuck is this?
It's so, it must
this
be nice.
This looks very strange to me.
Like, I feel like if there can only be one, like Tom Cruise can only be a white man. Like,
right.
Like, there can't be a black version of Tom Cruise, because Tom Cruise is always doing shit like his own stunts and tying himself to planes, and now he wants to be in a movie where he literally goes to space, like, not in the movie with special effects, but like in real fucking life, he wants to take a rocket to space in his next movie. And I was like, that's only a white man could do that, because there's nothing else that's to scare him. Like, Denzel's like, are you crazy? Mm-mm. If I want a crazy day, I'll break my taillight and drive to the gas station.
Exactly. Oh, God, I'm going to cry. Yes, exactly. I hate this fucking world. So, you know, I try to speak about things or, you know, yell at people, do a lot of yelling. I've yelled at a lot of people in comedy when everybody was still going, you know, to comedy stuff. Mm-hmm. I found myself yelling at young open micers. And let me tell you something.
Felt good. Felt real fucking good. I felt like the Patrice O'Neal, if I may. I felt like a little Patrice O'Neal feeling because he used to yell at us. Boy, did he yell at us a lot.
Not ready.
He'd say, okay, well, thanks, Patrice. Bye. But he was right. You know, he was right. But I, if there's a guy on stage, you know, like I, and he's going like, man, like this one guy was saying, man, black people, huh? They're really like, wow, just everything. They're getting everything right now. Like everything. And I feel that. You mean like shot?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Everyone was like, who the fuck is this protester?
There's always that, like, there's always that, that thing. Well, I guess now stand-up's not happening as much as not happening, but there's always like this undercurrent of white stand-up dudes who think anyone who's a white dude is the real oppressed person,
right?
And like, what, when are white men gonna finally get some opportunities in this business?
Like, it's 45 of y'all, yeah, and all y'all got the same goddamn jokes. Some of y'all are gonna be mediocre if, and you're not gonna make it.
If like one woman gets something, they're mad at her. If one black person gets something, they're mad at them. Like, it's such a weird thing, because in their minds what they're really saying is, I think every job in comedy is a white dude job.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And that it should be told, the story should be told by this, you know, half, I fucking hate them. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know how many times I've been told, right, my handle is Get Wood, right? My handle on everything is Get Wood. My show is called Get Wood. I have stickers that say Get Wood. Everyone loves it. My last name is Wood. Get it, haha. You know, it's the whole situation.
Right.
You know how many men have told me to not use that? You're a nice girl. You're a nice lady. You should. I'm a nice lady. Do you know me? Fuck my dick. You can't know me.
Right. Not to mention,
you know,
like,
I might not be nice.
Like, white dudes get to make like as unlimited dick jokes and shit, you know what I mean? Like, they just, like, they can just be like, I'm gonna do a whole set of 30 minutes of just talking about my dick, and like no one steps to them and go, you're a nice man, why are you talking so much about your penis?
This is so dirty.
Right.
But Lord, don't say nothing about no vagina and titties. Everybody lose their goddamn minds.
Oh, forget it. I was kicked out, you know. I was kicked out of a couple clubs in New York City, which seems so insane to even say out loud.
Right.
To say I was kicked out of clubs in New York City because the men who were running the room told me I was too vulgar. And they used the word vulgar. And I would like to tell you that I was a regular at this one club, and I followed a guy, white guy, that told a joke about coming in his girlfriend's eye and that she had to wear a patch. So now he felt like he had to date a pirate. I, on the other hand, was getting up there and talking about how happy I was to masturbate on my clitoris, which I nicknamed the dolphin, because it just made sense. And I had so many lovely responses. I had wait staff that would stop, you know, to watch my set. And it was a really great room for me. But the owner came right up to me, and he had been out of town, and I was passed by a younger comic who was passing people for the room. And then the owner came back to town, and he was like, no way, you're very vulgar. You're very vulgar. And I was like, are you aware of the man that comes in his woman's eye before me? I don't know if you're aware of that guy.
Guys, listen, you're vulgar and you have a vagina, so we're gonna need you to stay from here.
I mean, and you have two tits.
People don't want to hear that from a lady, all right? You understand? We were actually just on a podcast yesterday, Black on Black Cinema. We got to talk about the movie Girls Trip,
which was fun.
Which we got to like rewatch and everything, and do this review and recap of. And the thing I kept thinking was like, I don't think I've ever seen a comedy like this with black women, period.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I think
it's been 3 years, I think, since that movie came out.
Mm-hmm. 2017.
Yeah, like, one, we should have a sequel. Like, duh. I think they may be working on it. But then two, like, the other movies I could think of were like Bridesmaids. Like, there weren't even a lot, even if you just say women in general, there weren't even a lot of those movies, period.
Oh, no.
Like, it's like, but there's so many male raunchy comedies.
Let's go to Vegas.
Let's
go to the bachelor party. Yes.
You can't keep up with them. They're so fucking like, tits and titties and dicks. Like, you know, everything. And then, but yeah, with women, it's very much like this, weird patriarchy is like, look, we can let men talk about that, we just can't let a woman make the same jokes, as if they don't go through life and have the same like experience or different experiences but the same humor to be able to be like, I want to make fun of this shit too.
I'm so with you, because and to go back to Bridesmaids, first of all, I really didn't like the movie, but what I really hated was when they were advertising it, speaking of the patriarchy, all they told us was that it was the female hangover.
Right.
It's the female hangover. It's the female hangover. It's the hangover for girls. It's the hangover for the ladies. And I was excited. I was like, I fucking love the hangover. Let's go. Let's get nasty. Let's get fucking wild.
Right.
And then I have to watch someone like, oh, they took a shit in their dress. Fuck you, Hollywood. Dumbasses.
Yeah, that is funny that they...
Oh, my God. All of it. I hated it.
That is funny that's the way it was promoted. Because, like with Girls Trip, that's closer to me than to, like, a hangover type thing. Mm-hmm. But then they didn't get that kind of promotion because it was black, so they didn't want to be like, it's a female hangover. It's like, no, it's like a black woman movie, it's with black girl magic. You're like, this movie is about dicks and fucking and peeing on people, like like this joke, like, it's funny, it's still good, but there's no parallel to compare it to, really. So that was like such a weird thing. Well, I'm just glad you're doing good, Jess, and I'm glad that everything's going well with the show and going live and Instagram living and you know, using protection as mask, I guess, during sex, but using
protection. Condoms. Are you crazy? Oh my God, there's a condom, there's a mask, there's like a humidifier in case anyone sweats or farts. You know, like, whoa, like, get it all out of there. I don't want any droplets in the air in this one.
Just Lysol his face down real quick. Like,
yeah, well, when he walks in the apartment, I just go, disrobe, and it's okay. It's like, it works now. It's not just me being pervy, like, get me.
And what about the pirate man who sided with the crackhead? Like, what's his deal? Are y'all cool now, or he's gone, or
no, he had to go. I don't know. Boundaries. He had my heart. That was what was fucked up, is he had my heart. So that one was harder.
Aww. Yeah, I can imagine, because like the dick dude, the young dude, I mean, that's obviously nice, you don't want to have to give up the dick. But the older dude who's there like all the time or whatever, I would imagine that's the person you kind of get familiar with,
right?
Even if they're not, you know, perfect, like whatever flaws they have or whatever, those are still kind of like your flaws, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, this motherfucker is stupid, but this motherfucker's around 23 hours a day, and like that's harder to give up than, you know, the dick appointment.
It was, even though we did take mushrooms one time during quarantine, me and the pirate, and he convinced me to use candles in the apartment as, like, you know, ambiance.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I don't want stick. He got stick candles. I was like, no sticks. Tea light. Perfect. Yes. It's covered. It's safe.
Yes.
You know what's going to come. As soon as the mushrooms start to come on, I'm like really high, and I'm on my bed, and I'm like looking at the ceiling, and there's all these swirls and colors and things. And then all of a sudden there's like a pop of color of like light with like blue. And I turn around and my floor is on fire.
Oh no.
When we're peeking in the beginning of the mushroom trip. And so thank God, like a couple people have asked me, oh, are you one of those trippers that's like, whoa, it's just fire, it's so beautiful. And I'm like, hell fucking no, I've been on my own since 15. Put that shit out. I don't want my security files back.
That shit right there will wake you up out of a trip, man. That was a waste of drugs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, we went back to it. We got back to it right away.
Damn, like, you can't burn my house down, bro. What are you doing? Messing up the vibe.
Bad trip. That's like the total explanation of a bad trip, yeah.
Karen doesn't like it. I have candles all around, and Karen does not like going to sleep with the candle, and I don't use stick candles. I only use the safe kind. She don't give a fuck,
because like, in my mind,
well, don't
I just
go to
see
sleep.
Like, I can't explain it, man. Like, it's a mental thing, but in my mind I always think it's gonna the container's gonna crack, something's gonna get bumped over, it's like one wrong move, and next thing you know, I'm gonna come home and everything just gonna be on fire. It's a mental thing. I don't like them when we're not here, like, I don't like them when we sleep.
She's worried it's gonna be like some Final Destination shit.
Yeah.
In the house. I just put them out, obviously. I mean, wow, you know, who gives a fuck? I'm not gonna, it's not like in my mind, I wanna come home to like a house that smells like pumpkin spice or something, but Karen is like, no, fuck that. That's for when we get back. So we don't burn candles when we're not around.
Don't
do that.
But you have burnt pumpkin spice. It fuck around and get a hold of something, yeah, or something bump it over, a blow, or the container's in crack. Like, that's where my mind go. I'm good.
Exactly. Or put it in the sink.
Yeah.
The sink is a good spot.
Okay. Yeah. You know what?
Burn them in the sink.
I can deal with that, because at least I know it's like somewhere metal and there's water around it or something like that. But it's just something about it just sitting out in the open, and I'm afraid, you know, the lawnmower, somebody gonna do something. It might shake or fall. Like, it's a mental thing for me, baby.
All right. Let's get into some news, guys. Okay. Now lately what we've been doing is we've been playing, we have a coronavirus segment. And I go to Spotify and I put coronavirus in the search, and whatever songs it brings up, I play one of these songs. Okay, so today's song is gonna be Tom McDonald. And the name of the song is Coronavirus, and the name of the album is Coronavirus. Here's our coronavirus song.
Don't know what to think about this virus. Started in China, now everybody in America's hiding. There's no groceries cause people start to panic and buy it. The shelves are empty, the ones with plenty already stockpiling. Y'all making memes, think it's
can
funny.
Can she hear us? She might not be able to hear us.
Oh wait, can you hear us, Jess? Oh, that's right.
No, I couldn't hear
the on music. Skype, you're not gonna be able to hear the song. I'm sorry. I'll let you know when it's over though. I'm just gonna finish playing it.
Okay.
And I'll let you know.
Till the riots, wait a month till the only way to eat is be violent. It's not the sickness that's scary, it's all the people who wildin'. The government lying, they trying to keep us calm through the sirens. You know it's for real. And all the pharmaceutical giants don't have a cure that they can sell you. So now everyone's dying. There's no vaccines or medication made that can fight it. I guess it's time to pray to God we can't rely on the science. And everyone around me in a mask and some gloves. The stock market crashed and the banks bought the bus. Tell us sanitize our hands, this will pass. It's a bug, stay inside, you'll be fine till we're trapped there for months. It's a ghost town, we're in this together. They're closing all the stores down, we're heading for shelter. It's a war now, they'll always remember. We're locking all our doors down, we're sticking together. It's a ghost town.
You know what? I feel like that is influenced by like Eminem.
Yes.
You know, I should have known something was up when he didn't have a rap name. His name is Tom McDonald, so.
He's like, here's my real government name.
That's like a dude that works in accounting somewhere, and he's like, and I also rap on the weekends, and.
Yeah!
It was a very informative rap, and.
Very clinical.
Very well produced. So not my favorite of our coronavirus songs.
Nah, not my favorite.
But not bad. Not bad. And he did stick to talking about coronavirus, unlike some of the songs. So let's get into this news, guys. Let's see. In Florida, 83% of the coronavirus deaths are people 65 and older.
Duh, that's why all the old people go to retire.
Yeah, so like that's definitely doesn't bode well for them, because it's like that's where the old people at. And then that's also Florida. Florida don't give a fuck about no coronavirus. Mm-hmm. They just out there like, go to the beach, have a good time, hug people. We don't give a fuck. So like, I'm just like, and then like a lot of the places where it's spreading are like the older care facilities and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, this shit, who knows what the numbers are in Florida for real, you know?
Yeah, I don't think we'll actually get the true numbers.
Mm.
Because I think a lot of people are actually dying for coronavirus and they actually are mislabeling it for something else, or particularly prior to like the testing and all the stuff. So I think the numbers are actually bigger.
Yeah, I don't trust Florida anyway. Let's see.
Never.
Right. A strip club at Colorado-Wyoming border reopens with strict cleaning, social distancing guidelines.
All right.
Exotic dancers are now getting back to work at a gentleman's club that straddles the Colorado-Wyoming border. Although some of the property is in Colorado, the den is technically in Wyoming. When they reopened the restaurants and bars in Wyoming, we were super excited because it's been very difficult for us. Owner Kim Chavez said, it's been horrible to go almost 3 months without any kind of income. Yeah, and that's a cash business. Like, a lot of people are like, well, strippers won't be hurt that bad because they got a lot of money. I was like, motherfucker, that's cash.
Yeah.
Like, they can't even file for, like, unemployment and shit. You know, they ain't been reporting all that shit. I wouldn't.
How about the fact that the club straddles the border, but the women are not allowed to straddle anyone themselves?
Interesting.
It was a good use of words.
Yeah. That's an interesting parallel there. Okay. And they gotta say, I wonder how you do stripping from, I mean, I guess there's just no lap dances, I guess. Like,
yeah, and depending on the state, some states you can't do that anyway.
Everyone has to wear a mask, probably, I'm sure, including the strippers. And some of the strippers is like, this shit is hard, okay? Like, I have to wear 8-inch stilettos, and with a mask, I can't see my fucking feet.
Okay? Come on!
Like, she's like, we're on 8-inch heels, and obviously a mask sometimes messes with your vision. Like, I need to be able to see where my feet are going. In 8-inch heels, it could be deadly.
That's true. Guess they might allow them to go out there barefooted. I mean, if they want to.
Here's what's fucked up. They're not requiring customers to wear masks, but they are providing masks to anyone who wants one. Who are these people? Like, do you care about the strippers or not, okay? Wear the fucking mask. It's really not asking much of you, okay? You want to get your dick hard watching some naked women, the least you can do is put on a fucking mask. Like, what the fuck? Like, people get so mad about that mask shit. Like, that's the only reason they're not making it mandatory, because some asshole's gonna be like, I want fucking freedom, I'll never wear a mask, I'd rather die this shit. And they're like, okay, just don't wear a mask, like, sit 12 feet away instead. Ridiculous.
I think it's a selling point. If you tell these perverts that they can actually mouth breathe and move their tongues up and down on their lips like they really want to while watching these women, might be a selling point.
Right, because can't nobody see it now.
Also, like, I would wear a mask if I was going, because, like, what if you like the preacher? Now it's finally his time to shine. You know what I'm saying? He's like, oh, no, I get to wear this mask and come inside. Nobody knows who I am.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But really, I'm here to protect y'all. You know, that's why I got a full face mask, okay? Only my eye holes is what people can see. You know?
More people probably going to come in here since they got to cover their faces.
Yeah, government officials. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Anybody that got an ID, something to lose. Now's your time.
Now's your time to shine.
Throw those ones.
Yeah, mask up and go fucking watch some women get naked. This is gonna, I hope everyone's sitting down because this is shocking news. The U.S. lockdown protest may have spread the virus widely, according to cell phone data.
No shit.
So according to the cell phone data, you know, they can check your location, GPS and stuff, which is why, you know, everyone's always like, I don't want to give them my data so they can do this. I was like, they got it.
Yeah,
do you exactly. have a phone? Do you have a phone? They got it already. So I don't even know what you like.
That's how they keep a track of where people are traveling. And that's a lot of times they can tell immediately when the laws are lifted, because all of a sudden the dots just start moving a little bit everywhere.
I have a friend who's like really conscious about that shit. And every once in a while on Facebook, he'll post some posts that's like, guys, go into the options of Facebook, turn off this feature and turn off that feature. Then they won't be able to track you for advertising stuff. And I was like, they got it. Like, if you have, you know, when they got your shit, when you said sign me up for Facebook, that's all they needed. Like, I didn't read all that shit. None of us read all that shit, okay? 1,000 years from now, Facebook's gonna own all the property because we signed it away. None of us knew. We were just fucking wanting to go talk to our friends from college, and now this motherfucker's gonna be like, so your firstborn child, that's mine, okay? Facebook's bringing back slavery, okay? I don't know if you read the contract, but you totally agreed to this bullshit, so.
Yeah, we're all like, accept, continue, accept and continue, accept and continue. Come on, when am I gonna get to the page I want? Accept, accept, accept.
Right.
Like, holy shit.
No, and they know people don't. It's like 1,000 words.
Let me tell you something. The thing they have now when you go to websites, everyone fought so hard for this in the digital activism space. They're like, these websites are tracking you using cookies. And first of all, cookies are delicious.
They so are.
They should have named it something way more ominous if they wanted me to be scared. But two, they're like, they're tracking you using cookies. So we're going to make every website have to ask you to use cookies. And I, yes, you can use the cookies. Let's go. Let's get to the fucking New York Times article already.
Come on.
I clicked on this to get to the headline to find out what the fuck this is about. You got me, okay? I want to know. And so they put a pop-up on everything that's like, do you accept cookies or not? And I go, yes, I accept the cookies. Now show me what my baby would look like if it was, you know, me and my best friend that blended our faces together. Like, what the fuck? I don't care. Show me what Game of Thrones character I am. Anyway.
Cookie porn. Yeah, right? Isn't that what they call it?
It's just cookie porn, okay? Which is why I watch it, okay? All day, every day.
Mm-hmm. Watching it bake.
Yum.
Right.
Yes. Watching them cookies turn buttery brown. That's what I'm talking about.
That is
the best kind of porn.
That is like a wholesome type of porn.
Come on. Come on. Get a whiff of them smells.
Mm-hmm.
It's soft to eat. Let's, you know, I can go on and on about some cookies now.
Smell my finger. I just stuck it in some dough.
Lick my fingers.
But, so they tracked everybody's data with a capture from opt-in cell phone apps. Data scientists at the firm VoteMap use it to determine the movements of the devices present at protests in late April and early May in 5 states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, Colorado, and Florida. And they found out like that these motherfuckers, they basically tracked them for up to 48 hours after the protest, right?
Mm-hmm.
They found out like these motherfuckers weren't even like all from those places.
No, they were a lot of them out of state coming to these states and then going back home. It makes sense because a lot of people, the high 70 to 80, possibly 90% of people are like, fuck no, why the hell are we open?
Right, so they had people driving from a couple of hours out of state sometimes.
Mm-hmm, cause they do this shit online.
And then of course when it's over, they drive back. So if they were at a protest, not wearing masks, not social distancing and shit, they may potentially be spreading shit all over the globe. So,
right,
you know, this is crazy, those fucking protests, man. So
one of my least favorite things about the protest, well, I hate everything about them, but one of my most anger-making things are that they're using our signs. Like they're mm-hmm. taking a lot of the shit that they're like, the slogans and the bullshit that they're writing on their signs
mm-hmm.
are from us. Like you can't say my body, my choice, you fucking dick. That's ours, you fucking asshole.
And it doesn't mean the my same body, thing.
Get out of here, you shit abortion doctors, you fucking dicks.
Everybody,
you know what I mean? I don't know.
It's weird that point where everyone has the words now to, because of the internet. Everyone's learned all the languages to like say shit in a way that, you know, like to say fucked up shit and justify their actions, but they say it in a way that sounds like it's inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like all lives matter. Suck my dick, Cole. Right. You know what I mean? Jesus.
Like, how are you
so out of their mind?
How are you at a reopen the economy and let people die protest talking about all lives matter? Like, how does that make sense? How does that fucking, these fucking people are so stupid, man. The only thing you can do is stay away from them. There's not a solution. You can't reason with them. You can't fucking talk to them or whatever. You just gotta literally stay away because they don't give a fuck. Like, every day I feel like I'm reading another article about someone being like, sir, can you please put on a mask? And then the person being like, I will spit in your face! I will cough on the police! It's like, what is this coming from? Speaking of which, guys, a vegan chef and flat earther is being branded a COVIDiot after accusing supermarket staff of discrimination for not letting her into a store without a mask. Yes. That's what I would say. That's the new racism, guys. Not letting people in the store.
What are we about to watch?
Without wearing a mask. Well, right there, was an advertisement, Karen. So,
oh.
I'm just trying to deftly move through the podcast as a professional here. But continue to break the fourth wall. It's fine. I was going to show you guys a video of this woman having a meltdown And,
I'm not any customer or employee inside the store without a mask or some sort of card.
Okay, so I need to talk to a manager because...
I will absolutely humbly go get a manager for you.
But first of all, keep in mind, she filmed this. So she thinks she's right. You see what I'm saying? Because she had to film this and upload it. Because she's like, see, look at the discrimination I'm going through, guys. This is like what they did to Martin Luther King. I'm going to show you what is happening at Whole Foods. The discrimination will cease after today when I expose them.
Oh my god.
Awesome.
So embarrassed.
Now we can provide you with one.
I'm not wearing a mask.
Okay, understood.
Perfect.
Just a moment.
Go ahead. Hi, I have a medical condition that I'm...
Of course she wants to speak to a manager, okay?
She started, but I have a medical condition. Bitch, you ought to be the main one with something to cover up your face. I don't understand this.
This is a Karen, this is definitely Karen-like behavior, okay? Mm-hmm. The fact that she was like, I have a medical condition, and everybody's like, it's like, have you read about what the virus does, ma'am? Have you done any research at all? Because the mask is really for you. It's really...
The mask is for you. Me wearing it is actually protecting you right now, ma'am.
Sir, I have asthma, diabetes, and hypertension, and I just don't understand why the fuck I gotta wear a mask in America. Okay? I wanna speak to 17 managers. Jesus Christ.
I'm not allowed to wear a mask, and I'm not required by HIPAA regulations to disclose that.
Just the ultra stupidity of people. And it just made us more divided. It's so fucked up, you know, because right. I didn't think we could get more divided than we already were. Now there's another level to it.
Right. It's wild because it's like, how the fuck are you divided on, like, science? You know what I mean?
Science.
Yes. Like to me, it's like being divided on like math or something, right? Like something where it's like, we all know 2 + 2 = 4. So like, how the fuck is it half of us gonna just opt out of that? You know, like, no, 2 + 2 = 17. And, I refuse to listen to reason about this, but that's really where we're at right now, man. Oh my God. Anyway, that Karen was very upset. Whew. And she ain't wearing no mask. So, you know, I guess fuck us, right?
until she gets it, you know, because I've been reading articles have been coming out about some of these protesters and people that have been posting stuff on Facebook talking about the hoax. Mm-hmm. Corona fucked around and touched them, and they were like, hey guys, it's serious. I was breathing and the air was cold, my skin was on fire, I was sick for 45 days. Like, a lot of them are like posting shit going, nah dog, I thought it was a hoax till it touched me.
Yeah, I have one of those articles too. I'm gonna save it for tomorrow, but okay. Yeah, absolutely, man. There's people being like, oh, for it's a hoax, and then oh shit, I think it's real. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, dude, I don't think you should get to have an opinion on this. You should listen to the scientists.
Come on.
All right, let's move into another segment. You know what? Let's do some Guess the Race, guys. All right. Now Jess won't be able to hear the song on Skype because Skype doesn't play the audio, but we're gonna sing a song. And we'll be back in like a few seconds.
So you're going to hear us a cappella,
Jay. Yeah. Okay.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Boop.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Jess Wood of the Get Wood podcast, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing, oh wait, Karen plays and the chat room plays, and everyone playing is racist. All right, let's get into the Guess the Race. First article: teens caught burglarizing Bethesda Chevy Chase High School amid uptick in school break-ins. First of all, Chevy Chase has a high school named after him. I did not know that.
Me either.
That okay, good for him. You know, didn't know he had made it to such iconic heights as, you know, like Franklin Roosevelt and shit.
Oh, somebody said a city.
He got a city named after him. Or is he named after a city?
Oh, might be named after a city. I don't know.
This is a huge distinction, everyone. Okay? Like, I want to know, did someone look at Chevy Chase and go, we need to name a city after this motherfucker? Or was he like, oh, that would be a cool name to be a comedian under? Anyway. Montgomery County police have arrested and charged three young men for allegedly breaking into Bethesda Chevy Chase High School, the latest in a rash of school burglaries across the country. On the night of Saturday, May 2nd, the security office for Montgomery County Public Schools noticed several hallway motion alarms had been triggered at the high school.
Yeah, because ain't nobody supposed to be there.
Yep. Just like these young high schools, getting triggered all the time just for a little bit of motion. Which is located east west. Actually, these kids are way tougher than us. Like, getting triggered in high school now means something totally different. These mm-hmm. motherfuckers be shooting the shit up.
Yeah.
That's one place our generation didn't get to be tougher than these kids. It's like, mm-hmm. nah, I never was worried about, you know, not too worried. I was worried about, like, Purvis might get shot by Monte for that shit he did last week. I was never worried about, like, some motherfucker gonna come in with an AK and kill us all. Mm-mm. Anyway. It's going to be a commercial burglary alarm. A female dispatcher stated over second district radio channel at 1:15 a.m. School security calling it in. They're getting multiple alarms. One is in the hallway stairwell by a lamp. One is in the security office. Also, multi-purpose room and office stairwell and door number 5. School security is en route. They have a 10-minute ETA. One officer responding to the priority call spotted two vehicles, both filled with young teenagers, leaving the area of BCC. He stopped one of the vehicles on Sleaford Road. I'm out with half of the parties that were in the school, the officer radioed dispatch a short while later. They admitted they were in the school. The other vehicle was a black SUV. It turned right towards East West Highway. The men reportedly confessed they had gained access to the building by entering an exterior facing elevator and then riding it down to the basement. Police confiscated a $50 houseplant, a $25 broom from the suspect vehicle, which they alleged were both stolen from the school.
Y'all didn't have nothing better to do.
Apparently not. Police have since charged Matthew Dubrow, 19, of Bethesda, Philip Gregory, 20, of Bethesda, and Gabriel McAndrew, 19, of Aspen Hill, with second-degree burglary, fourth-degree burglary, theft less than $100, trespassing on school grounds, and failure to comply with a health emergency. Police transported the men to 2nd District Station in Bethesda, where they obtained verbal and written confessions. Court documents state each faces up to 19 years in prison. Oh, Jesus. Cops also interviewed several juveniles on the night, yet those records are not available to the public to review. And in concert with the traffic stop, a different set of officers worked with school security to collect evidence. Technology, however, had other plans. I'm out with school security right now. There's no way we can view footage. Their feed to the school's not working. The way we get video footage is possibly when schools open back up, said a radio dispatcher. All right, guess the race of these criminals, y'all. Jess,
I'm with the chat room. Those sound like a bunch of white kids.
All right, Karen.
I mean, especially the way that the police stopped them and the way that they were like a house plant. That's what they stole.
Yeah, what are you gonna do with that?
Seems odd.
You can't even like sell that for crack. There's no point in having that.
Give it to the mom, like one of their moms.
Yeah.
Whose house they're supposed to be at.
Right.
You know, they're like, well, we said we were going to be at Phillip's house. We better bring something for his mom so it looks like it.
Karen.
Oh, white. This in them brooms and shit. Come on.
All right, let's check the chat room. Right. There's so much cool stuff in a school to steal.
Right.
I was like, what happened to the AV club? Like, just steal that shit. Anyway. let's see. Chat room says, this is some Montgomery County white boy shit. Young horticulturalist, white. Youthful hijinks, white. Yeah, they're all the same race, Lakita. You skipped the computer room and stole a broom and a plant. White boy mischief. Whites are white. I think you said one's last name is Dude Bro. Clearly a white. The correct answer is white. Everyone was white. I don't think anyone guessed anything else. Mm-mm. I think everyone went with white on this one. So
I would have been shocked if there'd have been anything else.
Yeah, this is their picture here, guys.
Oh.
Yeah. These poor babies. Mm-mm-mm. Living in a world without any predators, this is what happens, guys, okay?
Oh no, what is happening? One of them got a face mask on, but it's covering his chin. What is this?
Yeah, well, I'm sure the police made him take the mask down, you know?
Oh.
I feel like when they got pulled over, that one was like, your officer, we were practicing social distancing. So I just hope that you can go easy on us and like, get the fuck in the car, you asshole. I had to wake up at 1:30 in the morning for this bullshit.
Right.
All right, let's go to the next one. APD, which is the Atlanta Police Department,
okay,
cracks down on illegal street racing and reckless driving with major operation. So apparently, even in the coronavirus world, people still got the need for speed.
The gas is cheap. Probably got most
only
meters.
On Channel 2 Action News.
It happens here.
Oh wait, here. Jess can't hear the article. I'm gonna have to
oh,
read it.
Sorry.
Okay.
No. You wouldn't be able to hear it. It's Skype thing. It's not. Anyway, in a joint effort by multiple law enforcement agencies, 44 people were arrested over the weekend in connection
44.
To illegal street racing and reckless driving in Atlanta. Atlanta police said officers also issued 114 citations, impounded 29 cars, and recovered 4 guns, including a semi-automatic rifle. Atlanta police were assisted by Georgia State Patrol, the Clayton County Sheriff's Office, and Fulton County Sheriff's Office, and the City of Atlanta Department of Corrections. Damn, they was busting everybody. There's a string of street racing events that have become a growing concern for police in recent months. Street racing has especially been a problem on the interstates and on Spring Street in Midtown. Atlanta police released a report with the names and charges for all 44 arrests that were made on Saturday and Sunday. All right, y'all ready for the names?
Mm-hmm.
Ethan Wilcock for lane drag, 29. Jaquan Jenkins, 25, speeding. Stephen Hicks, 23, lane drag. Golina Beecher, 19, drinking in public. Kenneth Good, 25, drinking in public. Xavier Poteet, 23, drinking in public. Shaniqua Vance, drinking in public. Ontavious Lucas, 26, possession of marijuana. Travis Powers, 30, possession of marijuana. Danielle Buchanan, 30, drinking in public. Simone Mims, 27, drinking in public. Vanessa Harris, 31, drinking in public. Michelle Whitaker, 32, drinking in public. Chantel Smith, 29, drinking in public. Jackson Hall, 18, no driver's license.
Okay, so we got off. Had a little pattern skip there.
Donquavius Patilar, land drag. Montresha Cozy, 28.
What is a land drag?
I guess drag racing or something. I don't know. Disorderly under the influence. Tyrixon Johnson, 23. Reckless driving. All right, guys, dress the race.
They all the same, I'm assuming.
I don't have any of their pictures. Well, I'm just being racist and assuming they're all the same.
A black.
Okay.
Black folks, because it happens here in South LA. I've been to a couple of them, and I've only ever seen black guys driving and black guys and girls hanging out. And also the way that they came in with so many police and the way that they came in with so many citations, like drunk, no driver's license. Fuck you. What is happening? So yeah, that was a giveaway. That one was a dead giveaway at the end there, Rod.
All right. Black lightning, black niggas, Rough Rider black, the Fast and Furious, Fast and the Niggas, what? Black ones are getting 10 years for the same crime. Fast and Furious blackity black. Well, a majority of them are black. White, fuck it, says Shay. I hear you, Shay. But you're dead wrong. The correct answer is black. And I don't have any of their pictures, guys. I'm just being racist. I'm just sure those people were black. You heard the names.
Yeah, for the fact that they caught them drinking in public, what?
Also, the names was like they got progressively blacker as I kept reading the list. I was like, these are black people. I didn't know black people did this. Congratulations, y'all. Diversity, okay?
I don't go to drag races.
We are not a monolith, all right? We do everything, okay?
We do.
Shout out to Fast and Furious Atlanta. Get Ludacris' own spinoff franchise, okay?
Come on.
all right, let's go to the bonus round. Where's my bonus round music? Like I said, we'll sing the song, and we'll be right back in a second, Jess.
Here we go.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, double the points, double the race, and a bonus round to guess the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2. Wait, y'all both 2 for 2.
Yes, we
Karen
tied.
And Jess are tied. Let's see if they can finish a perfect game.
I'm gonna try.
All right, here we go. East Tennessee woman is charged with repeatedly calling 911. She said Blake Shelton was trying to kill her.
Now, I do know that white man.
A Hawkins County woman was charged with misuse of 911 after calling authorities on Saturday and saying the country music star Blake Shelton was trying to kill her. According to a report from Hawkins County Sheriff's Office, deputies were called to a camper in the 1000 block of Robbins Lane after receiving a 911 call from Mary Myers, who had asked for a helicopter.
This is a lot happening in this article.
The report said, well, listen, when Blake Shelton is on your ass, you're going to need a helicopter.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
You are.
Airlift me the fuck out of here. The report says
he is dangerous with that guitar.
When deputies arrived, they found Myers, 48, with severely slurred speech and unsteady feet.
Unsteady feet.
Deputies reported there also was a smell of alcohol coming from Myers.
Ooh, you don't say.
You don't say. HCSO reports Myers told deputies she had called 911 because Blake Shelton was trying to kill her and there was a man in the woods with a knife. So were those two different people, or she think Blake Shelton is the man in the woods with the knife?
Yes.
Okay. Because, you know, Man in the Woods, that's Justin Timberlake album.
It is.
The report also says
good callback.
Myers told deputies that she and Eric Church were dating and Dolly Parton was flying in to see her that night.
Wow.
Okay.
Dolly's like, I'm not even opening up Dollywood. Why am I coming to see you, ma'am?
I know this sounds crazy, but what if we lived in a world where she was telling the truth?
That would be a lot. If she was actually telling the truth. Oh my goodness.
Dolly Parton's like, fuck, this bitch told. Cancel my flight. Cancel my flight. I can't be caught up with this, okay?
That'd be a good comedy skit.
I was trying to go and help her kill Blake Shelton, but this is too much. deputies were called to the lot by Myers multiple times on Saturday. Deputies report there was nobody around the camper and anything that would cause immediate danger to her, but an open bottle of vodka was at her table.
That was where the danger was.
Myers was charged with misuse of 911 and transported to Hawkins County Jail. Guess the race of Mary Myers, Jess?
Oh, wait.
Karen?
Mike Myers is her nephew.
Okay, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. She needs to go easy with the Grey Goose white, whitest of white trash. Blake Shelton, and she lives in a camper white. I'm just happy this white woman tried to pin the crime on a white man.
That's good.
She's like, I'm not racist, okay? Say what you want. Meth Mary Myers, high off of them opioids and vodka white, working 9 to 5. white, and Wizard of Oz white.
Yeah. I love that movie. Working 9 to 5. That was my jam.
She tried to at least she didn't try to pin the crime on Jolene, okay? The correct answer is white. She was a white woman. Everyone got it.
Yay!
What does Blake Shelton even sing about?
Ooh, that pick. Ooh, no, ma'am.
She just had a hard time, okay?
Ooh, no wonder why her feet was unstable.
she needed to sober up before she got this picture. I do agree with that. It's clearly, but yeah, she's going through a hard time, y'all. You know how it is. Aww. I just want to know what Blake Shelton song inspired the fucking he gonna kill me. You know what I mean? Like, I can think of artists that have songs that would make me feel like this motherfucker gonna get me if I got too, you know, too lit. But I don't know. What is Blake Shelton singing about over there? I'm scared now. Mm-hmm. All right. Last thing. Got to talk sword ratchetness.
It's a clip playing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's going to take a while.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, one day he going to get away.
Police have swooped in on a man who was doing sword exercises in fancy dress.
Dancing with the Swords.
Yeah, I'm sharing his picture.
Oh, we Game of Thrones in it out there.
He really looks
he out here playing D&D.
He really looks like he's doing some type of cosplay or something.
Yes, he casting a spell on somebody.
Wow. Armed officers swooped in on a sword-wielding quote-unquote knight who went out for his daily exercise in medieval fancy dress. Police from the firearms unit were called by worried families at the lakeside beauty spot who feared the mysterious swordsman would launch an attack with a 3-foot blade.
Oh, good God, 3 feet?
Yes, yeah. The man was confronted by officers at gunpoint, but they soon discovered the sword was fake and he was just out for a walk in his fancy dress. Medical technician Mike James, 31, was walking around Hendry Lake in St. Melons, Cardiff, with his family when he saw the drama unfold. Mike said, the whole thing was really surreal. He looked like something out of Assassin's Creed. We saw this guy walking around in a nice outfit and carrying a sword. You know he's got to be nice to be white, though, because they really just stopped and had a chat with him. Look at this picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're all hanging out. Like, what the fuck? This motherfucker got a sword. It's like, oh man, so what are you in, Game of Thrones or Assassin's Creed? What's your favorite Assassin's Creed game? Let's talk about it.
And what level are you again?
Right. He would have been black and would have just been like, pow, pow, pow! Oh, it was a fake sword, guys. Now that we've killed him, hey guys, it looks like he was just playing a game. He's just dressing up. I thought that's a bit weird, but I thought he must be an actor or something, so I didn't think much of it. About 5 minutes later, the armed police showed up. They said, wait, you didn't think much of it?
Mm-mm.
What? Anyway, about 5 minutes later, armed police showed up, and they said they had reports of a suspicious-looking person, and we knew right away who they were talking about. I told them, it's the black guy over there. No, just kidding. I told them it looks like he was doing laps on the lake and that he should be coming around shortly. Mike had his camera with him to take pictures of his son riding a bike and the ducks in the lake when he captured the drama. He said the police ordered him to put the sword down and then they confronted him. They had a chat with him for a couple of minutes and apparently the guy told them he was trying out a new outfit and he was walking around the lake to get used to the weight. The arm, wait, a new outfit? Like he's gonna just wear that sometimes?
Apparently so.
Wow.
I guess when they open the conventions back up, he'd be the first thing in line.
I thought he was gonna say like for a purpose, like I got a part in the play. He's like, yeah, I'm just trying out a new outfit, you know what I'm saying? Look at this drip, you know what I'm saying? They don't got nothing on this leather vestment, okay? Showing off my finest knight couture, all right? They had a chat with him for a couple of minutes and apparently the guy told him he's trying a new outfit. The armed police were good as gold and even had a picture with him afterwards before letting him go on his way. I don't know what the sword was made from, but it looked real enough. The outfit did look heavy, but I'm just not sure it was proper chainmail, but it made a really tinny noise when he walked past. A South Wales police spokesman said at 3:10 p.m. on Wednesday, the 13th May, South Wales police received a report from a member of the public that a man was seen at Hendry Lakes in Cardiff with a sword. Officers were deployed to the scene where they located a young man who was in fancy dress carrying a toy sword. No criminal offenses were committed and the man was given suitable advice. So there you guys have it, okay?
Why wasn't anybody scared for their life? I don't understand. I feel like the police are always so scared for their lives.
Aren't they always like shooting motherfuckers? So
of everyone scared with their fucking, I mean, what the fuck? Oh, yeah. hating a lot of stuff.
Well, sorry. These are our heroes, okay?
Outburst.
Jess, tell everybody where to find you.
Okay. Oh, let me refresh. Good God, what's the refreshing? I'm so sorry about all the refreshing.
All
hello, I'm refreshed, feeling so refreshed. Well, I record on Tuesday. See you next Tuesday. Come on, everybody. I do record on Tuesdays live on Instagram, Get Wood, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And I'm starting a new show that I'm really excited about on Friday. My first guest is Baron Vaughn.
Oh.
And yeah, I'm very excited. One of my best friends in the world, but he's got like a lot of stuff going on right now. And my show is that show will be called What's Good with Jess Wood,
because I'm going to be in touch with a bunch of people. You guys, I'm going to reach out to you. I'm going to reach out to Keith and them. I'm going to reach out to everybody I know and just kind of pop in and do just a little 30 minute kind of, hey, how's it going? And what are you doing for yourselves? And kind of like a little, it sounds a little like self-care. I don't know. Are you guys taking a lot of bubble baths? Or like, what are you doing? Are you making sourdough?
I love it. I love it. That's dope, man. So yeah,
it'd be fun.
Check it out, man. And yes, you know, I follow Jess on Instagram, mm-hmm. all that stuff. You know, check out Get Wood and all that stuff, because like I said, you're always a joy to talk to. And
yes, you are.
You know, even no matter what you're going through, it's always like you always have like a, it's such a weird way to describe it, but it's like a optimistic and sunny thing no matter what. Like, even
yes,
like Jess could be describing something that's horrible to you, and you're just like, what happened? And it's like, yeah, then the fucking I got kicked out or whatever. You're just like, that's crazy. She's like, I know, but now I'm living on the streets and it's fun or whatever. You're just like, okay, Jess, Jess found a way to make it work. She know how to make it work. So I just always admire that about you. So
thanks. Well, I'll leave you, if I can, with one, just mm-hmm. one joke that kind of sums up, if you will, my being back in LA and like being so overcome with memories and stuff. And I walk around LA and I know, you know, so many people come here and they get so excited when they look at things and they say, oh my God, look at this location. This is where like a movie was shot here, because I walk around LA and I stop at locations and I go, oh my God, I was shot here.
Exactly.
That's real. That's true.
That sums it up.
I was caught in the drive-by.
That sums it up. Go back and listen to old episodes of Jess, because especially if you're premium, Karen interviewed her for Lit Smack and Good once.
Yes.
And so if you want to hear about the past with the gangs and the street life and the drugs and all that stuff, check it out, man. Because like I said, it's dope to see you shining, Jess.
It is.
We'll be back.
Thank you, Rad.
Absolutely. You, and we'll be back tomorrow, guys. So make sure you guys check us out. And tomorrow morning is when we're going to do our Insecure review with me and Bossy. So, all right, guys, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.